Technology, am I right?
Oh, you're so right.
I had a question, which was, John is not getting a HomePod this year.
For Christmas.
I guess that's not a question. It's a statement. John is not getting a HomePod.
John, would you like
year.
Us to get you an Echo? Would you like all the Rebound listeners to chip
in? He already
in and get
got one.
Echo?
He returned it. Remember? We're not getting him another. I'm not putting good
that was
money after
last
bad.
Year. Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that.
I've hidden several Echoes around his house already.
Oh, great.
I feel like this time Apple didn't get as much shit as they sometimes can when the company says, hey, we're going to launch this thing on this day or by this time and then doesn't. But they just shouldn't announce it. They announced it so early. It was June, right, when they talked about HomePod?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. What is the... I discussed this a little bit elsewhere, but what is the strategy, I guess, they were thinking, right? Was it trying to put a flag down and be all right, if you're, thinking about buying an Echo or a Google Home, but you're an Apple customer, just hold off a little while.
Yeah, hold up.
But
wait a minute.
They could.
Right. Don't get invested in that ecosystem. I was not going to do anyway. But
the weirder thing, which as Jason Snell pointed out in a conversation I had with him, was it was weird that they did it at WWDC when there was no developer component. You can't make apps for it.
Well,
at that point, it's why not in the fall with the phone and the other media stuff? Because it still would have been fine.
It was the time. I think it was the timing because everybody was everybody's, hair was on fire that Apple didn't have one of these things that other companies had. And
yeah, but Apple doesn't.
They should have one of everything that everybody else
has. But
they
don't make decisions based on that in terms of when you announce stuff. I don't think so.
I think they did this time.
Well, the ironic part, obviously, is then, of course, everything got leaked about that entire device before, months ago. Right. So there's literally nothing left, really, other than the, fine details that people don't know at this point. And put that together with that Bloomberg story that came out today as we record this about, the fact that they've been working on this for a long time and have scrapped a lot of different prototypes. And the thing that jumped out to me about that story was the point where they're how much, and this was true when they announced the product too, is how de-emphasized the voice assistant part of it is.
Mm-hmm.
And how much they're playing up the it's a great sounding speaker. And it's okay, that's an interesting move because certainly there is some competition to be had there, but it does kind of feel like the puck has passed that.
Yeah. Can't innovate my ass.
Your ass is fine. There's nothing needs to be innovated by your ass. It's cool. It's working.
Well,
could use more.
That's fair.
The thing is, it really doesn't respond well to voice commands.
Oh, so it's a lot like Siri in that way.
gets the wrong room.
Boom. Yeah. Hey, Siri, you burnt. By the way, it did not trigger my phone. I mentioned on the show that I think that on the iPhone 10, maybe I only mentioned on Twitter, that that trigger, Ahoy Assistant, does work better.
You should be able to say it because it only triggered your phone.
Yes.
It's tuned to your voice.
Hey, Siri, what's up? But it does work better. And so that's nice.
Yeah, I have found that it is more responsive, although we talked about this a couple weeks ago because we were talking about the fact that there was in one of the white papers, it talked about how if it thinks it's not sure that it heard you or not, then it sort of broadens what it listens for.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's pretty cool.
And I have noticed ever since reading that it will sometimes miss me on a first request, but it always gets the second one. And that's a problem I've always had with the watch, especially with the original series watch, where I think it's particularly wonky at times. John, has your experience with the Series 3 been better about that?
Yes, I would say it's definitely been better. Yeah. I mean, it's also just faster. It's also it's so much faster that it's such a much more pleasant
it's
experience.
Already
and
11:26
then she responds and she responds to you too, which seems, she says she speaks her lines.
She speaks.
Yeah, which is much better.
Have you noticed? I have noticed something.
Much better experience.
something is happening with Apple devices that is akin to what the Echoes try to do, although I still don't think the Echoes are great at it.
Oh, yeah.
Where the Echoes try to decide which one you're talking to. I have noticed that if I Hey Siri in a room mm-hmm. with multiple iOS devices, that they try yeah. to let one
it,
listen.
It, every once in a while, it gets in a haywire loop, too. I had it the other day where the iPad was sitting on the desk and the phone was in my pocket, like maybe the pocket of like my hoodie or something, and it was not handling it well, because even though the phone was not like out, it kept trying to handle it, and I would see the iPad blink on and then immediately blink off again, and nothing answered my request. So that was kind of a perfect storm of nothing is working.
You
right
had
now
it. No, I thought you had it. No,
it's like when you watch the video, the baseball bloopers of the outfielders all running yeah. together and the ball just falls in the middle there. You're like, yeah,
clonk,
guys,
so, right of the head.
Somebody should yeah. have taken that one.
Yeah. I've seen those happen, and it's at least so far every time they've managed to figure out who's got the ball.
It's usually pretty good, but this one I noticed yeah. it because it stood out how bad it was.
Right, right.
Because I tried 3 or 4 times, and I'm watching the iPad. Because at that point, it became a curiosity thing. Like, are you gonna figure this out? But the Echoes are kind of. We talked about this before too, I think, Lex. But the Echoes are pretty bad. We just switched. I moved the Echo show from the kitchen to the office and the original Echo back to the kitchen at my girlfriend's behest because she thinks the original Echo listens better. And I don't know that that's true. It always seems like the wrong one. Like we switched them and now it's always the one in the office still that's responding, even when I'm right next to the one in the kitchen.
Maybe it's is it the acoustics?
I think the biggest indication is, it almost always goes to the wrong one if we're like washing dishes and the water is running. I think something about mm-hmm. that level of white noise makes it think, oh, I must not be the one that you're listening, that like you want to talk to. I think that's a weird, I mean, that's fixable, I think, but it's something, I think it's like a weird like edge case thing that they're not really thinking about. Mm. I don't know.
You know who else has an edge case? You too. Okay.
Did we bring you for any useful reason this week, or
because that's not?
No, that's not. Okay. Well, actually, okay. I can do something useful.
Okay.
The most successful business owners I know are people who enjoy what they're doing. Whatever their thing is, they love it. But here's what they don't love: when they have to stop doing what makes the money to handle something that doesn't. That's especially true when it comes to email, and that's one reason why AppRiver shines. AppRiver keeps your inbox free from spam and viruses, so you don't have to worry about all that junk cluttering up your day. If you're running your own email servers, protect them with AppRiver. Or if you're tired of that headache, just sign up for Hosted Exchange or Office 365 and get your email from the cloud. Here's the best part. Call AppRiver anytime, night or day, and you'll talk to a real live US-based company employee, somebody who's trained to take care of your issue and let you get back to doing what you love. Here's what you do. Go to appriver.com/rebound and try any of their services for free for 30 days. That's appriver.com/rebound. One more time, appriver.com/rebound.
All right, you can stay.
Thank you.
I was just looking at the Wirecutter has a guide up for wireless car charger mounts, which I was kind of interested in. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I like the idea of having that as an option, rather than my combination, like I have a little charger and then a mount. These are things that basically like it plugs in and then you can just pop it in the cradle and it charges automatically, which is nice. So
I am
get one of those.
Amazon was starting all of its Black Friday craziness.
Yep.
It's no Prime Day, but my
it's no my Prime brother-in-law, Day.
My brother-in-law sent me a link to a thing called Oliber, I think, or does maybe it, the company's Oliber.
Does it have a question mark in the name?
It's O L. It's a red O, and then L E B, and then an R that's not fully drawn. So
wow, that is called, the most internet startup ever.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a watch. It's an Apple Watch, iPhone, AirPod simultaneous charging stand. It's a 3-in-1 charging station, if you will. And I just was unboxing it before we spoke, and some assembly is required. There's a screwdriver, there's screws, so I'm not going to use it tonight, but I'm going to report back next week on if it's any good.
I'm waiting with bated breath. Is it a wireless charging thing, or it's just a way of organizing your wires?
It's like a plug situation. And I was like, I'm not ready to go to wireless charging yet because, I'm going to wait until I have the thing from Apple where I can charge multiple devices once. It doesn't make sense for me to have a wireless charger right now if I've got to charge multiple things on it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I've got the Samsung one on my desk, which is fine because like right now it's the end of the day and the phone battery's run down a bit and I just, you know, let it sit there while we're doing the show or whatever. But I still have it plugged in on my nightstand overnight probably. So it's fine. Not blowing me away. What I got for you.
Well, I don't even know what you're talking about since, you know.
I saw a mock-up of an iPhone SE 2 that I was going to send you, John.
Yeah. I've seen several. Yeah. Yeah. This that guy, the fake Johnny Ive guy, likes to troll me because he knows I'm a big iPhone SE user. Is that an oxymoron? But anyway,
one of you, it's you or the phone.
Yeah. So he's constantly sending those and saying, this looks really nice. It'll never happen.
When people are listening to the show, it'll be around Thanksgiving time, right?
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any suggestions on what...
we're doing our picks now?
No. On what should you do to your family's technology while
burn
you're there?
It. Like, what, just burn what, it.
Like,
burn it
John
all.
John Syracuse used to recommend that you go to your
family's
houses.
Well, I'm going
to
be in my home, so...
Well, Syracuse used to recommend that you go to their houses and turn off, what is it, like interlacing or smoothing?
Motion smoothing. Turn off motion smoothing. I've already turned that off for my dad. It's awful. I hate it so much.
So is that on the, where is,
that's in
is
your
that
TV
on the TV?
Somewhere.
Yeah, it's a TV thing. Level. It's the soap opera effect thing where it interpolates frames and tries to make things look really like motion smoothing, but stuff looks kind of soap opera-y and weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just going to my parents' house and I do all their tech support anyway, so it's not any different from any other time I go over there.
Right, right, exactly.
I'm trying to convince, the new thing I'm trying to do is, so my mom has an older iMac. It is an Intel 1, but it's probably five or six years old. She was like, oh, it's been getting a little slow. And I was like, oh, it's probably because it has, you know, a spinning hard drive in it. And I thought about, well, I could replace that with an SSD or something. I was like, ah, it's kind of a pain to take those apart. And then I, you know, sort of like, I'm going to take a couple steps back and be like, how much do you actually use this iMac for these days? Because she also has an iPad, which she does take like everywhere. And she has an iPhone too.
Look at this one.
And I was like, well, you like, should we just get you a better iPad instead? I think at the end of the day, that's probably what's going to happen is we're going to just try to run that iMac into the ground and then just switch her entirely over to the iPad because there's nothing that shows that's like a showstopper on the like iPad anymore in terms of like stuff you can't do for the average person.
The thing I like, if I was going to my parents, I don't know how they actually consume video. I guess they have cable TV and I guess that's how they mostly do it.
They eat it.
Yeah, the old fashioned way.
Yeah.
But I would wonder if they would be able to use some sort of streaming box.
Yeah, I tried to get they have a decently new TV. And so I tried to set that up at some point and I never got like a one again, there's still no Amazon app for Apple TV, so there's no box that has like everything right now.
There is an Amazon app on my TV now.
Yes, that's the thing. So they have their TV has the same thing. It has like a Netflix app and an Amazon app. And it's like, frankly, maybe just use that, I guess. Like at the end of the day, all pretty similar.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure why I would really care that much. I mean, it's nicer to just be able to leave it in one thing because otherwise I got to toggle back and forth between the Apple TV and the TV. But, you know, that's not that hard. So.
Yeah, we were watching something on Amazon the other day, so I had to switch over to the Fire TV, which is still there. But I'm hoping that app shows up eventually. They did promise it was coming.
Yeah. What do you pay for cable?
Like, because I don't
this
have
is
cable.
This is a terrible data. Like, like internet. I mean,
oh, I have internet. Yeah, I have no TV service, just internet. I still have this weird like Comcast streaming thing that costs me $10 a month and gets me essentially like access to the Comcast app, but you can't do it on the TV. You can only do it on like your iPad or the web, which is a little ridiculous. But it comes with HBO, and it's cheaper than buying the HBO subscription by itself. So they're rolling that out to other places, and I think they're going to jack the price eventually too. And once they do, I'll just unsubscribe and subscribe to HBO because that's really all I use it for.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know. I think I pay like $75 a month.
Every time I have tried to cancel cable and just keep internet, they're like, well, don't do that. If you cancel your TV, you have to pay more for your total cost per month every time.
I end up keeping it. That's the thing is like, I never had TV. I had phone for a while when I first moved here because it was like, again, it was a deal. And at a certain point they started charging me more. And I decided I just didn't want to have to like jump through that hoop every year. So I just was like, I bought a cable modem. I said, don't want to lease it. And then I basically said, like, just give me internet. I will just pay for that. And I've been perfectly happy with that because I don't have to ever think about it again.
Right.
That yeah. I understand. I'm paying somewhere in the neighborhood of $120 a month for internet and TV. But like we pay a little bit, that's inclusive of the little bit extra we're paying for the internet to be faster.
Yeah. Like you're getting faster.
100 down and 75 up or something like that.
Oh yeah. That's pretty good.
I thought about doing that at some point and okay, I realized
that's way better than what I've got.
Right. John has one down. One.
I have inched up so incrementally, like to just something that's like barely tolerable. And I pay 55. I pay 55 for just,
what internet. Is yours rated at?
I can't even remember.
Because I'm not saying mine's.
I could try it.
Mine's like, yeah, definitely run a speed test while we're doing a podcast. That's a good. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Well, you know, you don't need to hear from me.
Because I think mine is 25 down, 5 up. But like sometimes you do a little bit better depending on
what
traffic's like.
Here's what I'm gonna do. You guys test your speed while I tell our listeners about a brand new advertiser on the show, like welcoming Grasshopper, a brand new sponsor to The Rebound. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or even if you have a side gig, let me introduce you to Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Grasshopper lets you run your business from your cell phone while keeping your business and personal lives separate. Choose from our huge inventory of local, toll-free, or vanity toll-free numbers. Simply forward your new number to your mobile phone and start taking calls immediately. Whether you're in an office, in your car, out shopping for the holidays, Grasshopper's iPhone and Android apps help you stay connected to your customers. Not to mention, you can send and receive calls and texts from your business phone number, set up multiple extensions for everyone on your team, get your voicemails transcribed and emailed to you, work from anywhere with call forwarding, make and receive calls from your computer via the desktop app, and even utilize Wi-Fi calling. Better yet, Grasshopper offers an easy and instant setup, 24/7 customer support, all without any long-term contracts. Here's what you do. Be professional, responsive, and efficient with Grasshopper. Get your business phone number today. Go to grasshopper.com/rebound to get $20 off your first month. That's grasshopper.com/rebound. Thanks, Grasshopper. Welcome to The Rebound. We hope you'll be here a long, long time. Did I give you guys enough time to check your internet speed?
Yeah, thank perfect. You. It was actually, absolutely perfect.
People give Comcast a lot of shit, and I disagree with many of their business practices, but my experience with them as an ISP in the New England area has been pretty solid. Like, they don't bother me. They don't impose onerous restrictions. Like, I get decent speeds and, like, fairly consistent service. Like, I don't get a lot of outages. I've been generally pretty happy with them. And maybe that's part of it because literally the city where I live is one of the very few places that has another cable company in it, which is a little weird because you go to like Cambridge, which is literally less than a mile away, and they don't have the competitor. It's just Comcast. And it's like, it's so bizarre how that all gets carved up.
Well, that's why they need more, Well, they need more of a free hand.
I think it's time for the unveiling of the internet speeds. Dan Warren, what was your internet speed?
All right, so I got a ping of 12 milliseconds, download speed just under 30 megabits, and upload speed just over 6 megabits.
John Moles.
This is interesting. Yeah, so my ping is 15 milliseconds. My download is 16 megabits per second, and my upload is about 5 megabits per second.
This is interesting. My ping is 13 milliseconds. my download while podcasting, and I did it while we were talking and never stopped hearing you. My download was 154.4. megabits per second, and my upload is 37 megabits per second.
Well, and yeah, I mean, and the thing with most of these is like,
look at this guy.
There's always a question of like, how much does that actively hurt you, right? Like, is your streaming quality that much better? Is your, like, if you're uploading large files, absolutely. But there are a lot of other cases where it doesn't really matter.
And honestly, the
number one
reason I pay for it is because I work from home. I'm getting large podcasts and advertising decks and things back and forth a lot. And then, like, I have three kids, and they all listen to music on their
own. You got to upload and download them, and they are they take up a lot of bandwidth.
Back and forth to school.
If the kids are watching Netflix in one room, and we're watching Netflix in another room, or if two of them are watching, and then a third's listening, like, I don't know. We probably don't need it, but the internet company is really good. Like, they'll be like, hey, you're getting 50 and 10. If you give us $8 extra a month, we'll give you 70. And then so you do that. And like, now if you give us just $7 more a month. And so it just keeps happening. And now they eventually are like, hey, you've been such a good supporter of our higher speeds that we're going to give you bonus high speed at no extra cost. I'm like, okay, do that.
Every once in a while, I do get an email from Comcast that's like, reboot your modem and you can get, like, we've upped the quality of service or something. I don't know. But it's fine. I really don't have much in the way of complaints. Are you on Comcast, John?
No, we have City. The city has their own thing here. So
municipal hippie Wi-Fi.
The municipal. So they run the backbone basically, and then they have they contract out to these service companies that. So I mean, this company that I pay my bill to is not the city, but the city.
I wonder what the impact of the net neutrality decisions are on cases like that where you have municipal involvement.
Yeah,
because that seems interesting.
It does, doesn't it? I'm kind of curious as to what that's going to mean as well. So,
yeah, I think we probably all agree that the abolishing these rules is total bullshit.
Yes,
except for Lex. Lex wants to pay for a higher level of access, and actually Lex just wants to pay to downgrade our access, just to make us feel worse about it.
No! And listen, like, there's nothing special to, I mean, if you, like, I don't think Moltz, you have the option to pay more, right? Like,
oh, sure I do.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. I could go up to, I was just looking at the prices, actually. So if I went up to, if I paid $100, I would get 100 up, 10 down. Or the other way around.
That seems crazy pants.
Wouldn't that be wild?
Yeah, it's like, no, upload everything you want, but we are going to throttle your downloads.
You know, not quite what you're getting, but... And they do have cable TV, so there are packages you could do, but I don't get... You know, I don't want cable TV.
Yeah.
Sure. Rots your brain.
That's right. I prefer to rot my brain otherwise.
Manually.
Recreationally.
Yeah, that's right. It's much more fun that way.
Yeah. But I did go, I went up to the second tier. Actually, I had originally been on like a tier that they no longer have. that was so low that they no longer have it. And then I went up to the one that is base tier now, and then I'm on their second tier. And then there are three more tiers above
You had notoriously bad connection for
a while. And I think at this point it's not so much my problem is not when it's working fine. It's enough. The problem is when it's not working, which is, you know, it's not all the time, but
sometimes I wonder if it's just because you're really far away from me and Lex.
I'm sure that's what it is. Yeah. It's the speed of light.
Is it?
We're hamstrung by the speed of light.
Are we?
Well.
It's the time dilation.
We want to get to Alpha Centauri.
Time dilation is a real problem.
Mm-hmm. How dilated is time?
Dilated enough.
To know better.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So we have no advice for people who are helping their relatives with technology on Thanksgiving.
Fake your own death.
that is really the best advice
If your angry uncle is like, why doesn't my iPhone do this thing? Or does Apple intentionally slow down the OS when a new phone comes out?
I just like with all a deadpan, like, yeah, that's
what Mac Keeper.
A solution to this.
Okay.
All you do is say, you know what, uncle, let's talk about politics. that's an easy way to change the subject.
No, Apple doesn't slow down your iPhone. Donald Trump slows down your iPhone. But we can't talk about politics on this show, can we?
I don't want to talk about Earth stuff. By the way, I know neither of you is current on Magic Tavern, but in a recent episode, as listeners of both of these shows will know, they talk about me. So that was very exciting.
Really? Jeez, I can't say look at this guy twice in the same episode?
You can.
Well, look at this guy.
Why did they talk about you? Are you some sort of like...
No, I wasn't. You can email the show. During live shows, they often say, like, email us, and maybe we'll get the email really quickly and talk about it. And I did. And they were like, well, Lex asks, and it's because they like me.
I see.
We like Dan, too.
It's true. I talked to Arnie the other day on Twitter about Halt and Catch Fire.
I saw that conversation. So Dan, you're still liking your iPhone 10?
I am still having Face ID problems. I'm not going to lie. Today, I was like walking
around.
Would
it kill you to lie?
I cannot tell a lie, John. I was walking around outside, taking a stroll and listening to some music. And I went to like change some of the music. And I have, I think maybe I'm going to have to, I've been trying to like keep the attention thing on for Face ID. I think I'm going to have to turn it off. Because like having to deal with the sunglasses thing is just it's a pain. I don't like it. And then several times I would like, you know, pull the sunglasses up or something so it would see me and it would just do the like give me the little haptic failure, like no. And I would like cancel and start again and be like, no.
I can't believe Face ID is not working for
it
you.
It really
like,
does
I don't
not
think
work
about
great
it
for
at
me.
All.
I've had more frustrations with it, and I don't know if it's I honestly don't know if it's like there's something bum with the unit or I need to like retrain it again. Or what, but it sometimes works perfectly fine. It just, I feel like the number of scenarios in which it doesn't work for me feels high.
Is there peanut butter on the top of your iPhone?
I don't like peanut butter. So if there is, someone else put it there.
Is there jelly on the top of it?
Jelly's just all over it. It's like just dropped everywhere. It in. A jar right. of jelly.
Mm-hmm. You got iPhone in my jelly.
It's jammed. Well, Dan, I'm sorry that you hate your new phone. At least you didn't pay $1,000 for it.
I didn't. I'm paying it on installments. But like, I've got it on a stand right now, you know, and like the wireless charging stand. And I try to unlock it, and it's really thinking about it, and then it gives me a passcode. Yeah,
that's
doesn't like
so
me
weird.
From probably about so- you know two feet away. Maybe it's the angle. I just tested it.
I tested it about 5 times in a row now with the microphone in front of my face. And it's like, I got you.
So like, how often have you had to enter your passcode in order to train it for like certain weirdness?
Since I got the phone, literally fewer than 10 times.
Really?
Yeah. I never, ever, ever enter my passcode.
Oh man.
Not literally never since I just said 10 times, but I almost never enter my
passcode. Way more than that. I've probably had to do it 5 times in the last like
if you have,
3 or 4
this
days.
Is what I think you have to do for science. If you have a friend who has an iPhone 10 who's not having this problem, who's closer to you geographically than I am, not emotionally, because there's nobody closer to you emotionally than I am, have them train their face on it for a minute and see if their face has more consistent unlocking. Like, I don't know if it's your phone's camera processor, whatever problem, or if it's face problem.
It's my face problem. It's always a my face problem. But the downside to that is if I train it on somebody else's face and go back to mine, it has to start all the learning all over again.
Yeah, but it really hasn't learned jack shit about your face.
Apparently, yeah, really.
Touché!
It's like, it does not know you.
That is fair.
That guy kind of looks like Dan Morin.
No.
Yeah, that's what your phone says all day.
It really is pretty bad at it sometimes. And I wish I knew what was going horribly wrong here. It just doesn't like me.
I like you, Dan.
Well, if you could you stand here and unlock my phone for me?
If you train with my face, probably yes.
But then you must be my phone valet.
Oh, you don't have a phone valet?
Oh, Lex. Lex, phone please.
Could you look at my phone, please?
I have a day phone valet and a night phone valet.
That's good.
It's important. I mean, you're creating jobs, John.
That's right.
You're a job creator.
I'm a job creator. That's why I need that tax cut. God, we're doing it again.
I didn't tell you this guys this last week, although it had happened last week. As you know, Spec sent us all cases for our phones. Before my Spec case arrived, I was just using the iPhone 10 naked. I took my kids.
Let's clarify.
I had taken my kids to an indoor water park, which I talked about on the other podcast I do with John Malt, Speedy Arrowcast. And
wrong.
So they keep those indoor water parks very warm. Right? It's 86, 87 degrees, something like that inside.
Right. When you go to have lunch, all the bacteria.
That's right. When you go to have lunch at the seated tables around the restaurant area, they have some air conditioners to cool you down, and they blow very hard. And so we're sitting there eating, and it's blowing hard, and everything gets blown off the table. Everything. The food, every bit of cutlery, the cups, and my phone.
Are you in some sort of cartoon?
It was crazy. So there is a ding in my phone, and I decided, you know what? It's lived in. What am I going to do? It's not on the screen. It's on the periphery. It's on the edge. Had the case been on there, I guarantee, and this is not even a spec ad, they're not in this episode, but had the case been on there, it would not have happened. But it has an imperfection, and I decided it's what makes it mine.
You know, hey, so, they say the phone depreciates as soon as you take it out of the lot, so you should just key it exactly on the way out.
Yeah. Honestly, I swear to you.
Well, you should key other people's is what you should do.
I know you're making a hilarious car joke, but I don't mean to be a downer, but if you guys remember at all, Randy Pausch and the last lecture, that guy who like was doing the last lecture series but found out it literally was going to be his last lecture because he was dying. Do you remember this story?
Yeah,
at all?
Yeah.
It was bigger than
I remember.
And he talks about how, I've told this story probably in this show, but he talks about how he bought a new car and he drove up to his sister's house to take his niece and nephew out for a drive in the new car. And his sister's there talking to the kids like, this is Uncle Randy's brand new car. Don't make a mess in it. You got to be good. And while she's talking, the kids can see him, but she can't. And he opens up a can of soda and dumps it out over the backseat of the car. And the kids, of course, are cracking up. And then the sister sees him like, what are you doing? He's like, it's just a car. They should just sit in the car and have fun. And like, what am I going to do? It's a car. It doesn't have. And I have tried so hard. Like, that is the thing that has stuck with me the most from Randy Pausch's last lecture and his book is like, it's just a car. I can pour it. And so my phone's dinged and I'm fine with
it.
The
back of Lex's car is covered in soda just constantly.
Yeah. As am I. I start each day, I take a shower, and then I dump the can of soda.
It's not soda.
First of all, dump the soda and then take a shower. Come on.
That's weird.
In the car.
Yeah, I so far, mine has not been digged up at all, and I do now have it in the case. So, I mean, maybe that's stopping it from recognizing my face. I don't know.
Well, that's a great ad.
No, I mean, maybe if it's dinged, it would recognize me better because it would like know, hey, remember me? I'm the guy who dropped you on some pavement.
The last thing the phone saw before it started looking at his face.
That guy!
You saying you should threaten it?
Yeah.
Show it to his boss.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah. I again.
Well, you need another phone, and you need to like smash the heck out of the other phone.
Lesson. I need to prove that this phone works for me, and I don't work for the phone.
Exactly. There you go.
That's important.
Mm-hmm. My $350 phone works great.
Yeah, but it doesn't know who you are.
I've got three of them for every one you guys have.
With the screen so tiny, though, it must be hard to SE.
No, I got three of them. That's why.
Oh, I see.
They're taped together.
Yeah. So two side by side and then one across the top.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. I mean,
it's the way it's meant to be. Mm-hmm.
Talked about the HomePod. The iMac Pro. We should talk about that.
Go now.
We should talk about the A10 in the iMac Pro. The iMac Pro.
Yes, so we can talk about that.
The iMac Pro has an A10 chip in it. So the A10 chip used in the iPhone 7, I want to say.
That sounds right.
And that it's somehow connected to booting the iMac Pro, possibly security-related features. It sounds like it also is responsible, like, it can keep running when the computer is off handle certain tasks, including, I think it may be essentially handling, like Siri activation. So I think, to me, what it sounds like is, like, the A10 is to the Intel processor as the M coprocessor is to the A processor in an iPhone. So like it's a separate chip that is dedicated to doing low power tasks that you don't need the full-on processor for. So, which is interesting though, right? Because it's like it's two different architectures in this case.
Right.
Because you've got the ARM chip alongside your traditional x86 chip, which also seems to lend some credence to, you know, the idea
the thing. Yes.
The movie from John Carpenter?
The rumor thing. No, not that one. That doesn't need any credence led to it because it's already a fantastic movie. But One of my favorites.
You've derailed.
When I hear about the thing, I always think about that little hand in Adam's Family that walks around.
Mm. Oh, that's just thing. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. So the are you referring to the rumor of an ARM-powered Mac?
Yes.
Yeah. It that's certainly does seem to lend thing. Credence Clearwater Revival to that theory.
What do you think they're going to charge for that thing? Do you think it'll cost an arm and a leg?
Okay. When we do this show at night, Lex just brings puns and has nothing else. Puns and ad reads. That is the Lex Friedman guarantee.
I've done so much more than that. When you listen back, you're going to regret this.
I regret nothing ever. It's worked out well for me.
It's fine.
I mean, the idea of a hybrid like Mac running on two different processor architectures is definitely interesting, especially because Apple can obviously exert way more control on the A-series chips than on its relationship with Intel. And if we've seen anything consistently from Apple over the past decade, it's basically controlling its own destiny insofar as building as much of all its hardware as it can. So I understand that an ARM chip doesn't necessarily provide the raw power that the, you know, Intel's chips can, but if it doesn't have to be beholden to Intel to build its processors, that I think is a huge plus for them.
Yeah. I would be surprised if they would not eventually do it, but
I think
it seems like the kind of thing that they would absolutely do.
I would be shocked if there wasn't a prototype already.
Oh, there's definitely right? There's gotta be.
This is hearkening back to the whole when they ditched the PowerPC chips for the Intel chips, right? Like they had it running. They had Mac OS running on Intel chips for years before they launched that. So why not?
It's basically already, iOS is already running on it. It's
right. The underpinnings are there.
Yes.
I remember so vividly when Steve Jobs first unveiled the iPhone, he said it was running OS 10. They stopped ever calling it that. But.
That's right. Yeah, they did.
Right. I watched that. I watched that the other day, actually. It was so good.
Are you getting it? It's
and I did not get it at the time.
I was reading a live blog and I was really confused.
Everybody started like hooting and hollering, and I was like, I don't know what's going on.
It's three things, guys. No, I think it's still three things.
Because I thought that was worse, I thought I thought you were actually announcing three products. Now you're saying you're announcing one, and you're just like, and that was marketing.
What I remember so vividly about the day is I was flying to LA for work. This was multiple jobs ago, but I was flying to LA for work knowing that was the day they were going to announce whatever their phone situation was, and flew during the thing, landed, get to the office, and then a buddy of mine is Yahoo instant messaging me, and he's like, so what'd you think? And I'm like, oh, I actually didn't say anything. Like, where should I go to look? Like, I didn't even, Macworld wasn't my go-to site. I had no go-to site. And I mean, I was very excited about the event, but I knew I couldn't watch. And he's like, wait, you didn't see it? Well, he tries to Steve Jobs me over instant messenger. And he's like, he announced three things, but it was one thing. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So that was my version of the Steve Jobs. Eventually I watched it and that was much more compelling. But my buddy Kareem telling me over instant messenger, it was three things, but one thing did not really work.
Yeah, I was sitting in a hallway at the Las Vegas Convention Center because I was covering CES during the keynote, which is definitely the worst way to experience an Apple keynote.
Yeah.
Like, why am I at this stupid trade show? The answer was because I was very young and I was the low man on the totem pole.
Right. And that is the first thing that they give you.
Yep.
Hey, guess what? You're going to CES.
You're going to Vegas. No one else wants to do it.
Because nobody wants this. Yeah.
So. Glad to
I was in the hall with sitting next to Glenn Fleischman, if I remember correctly.
Look at this guy.
Yeah. Good times. I was just like, wow. Like that was my first one. I think I said to him like at the end, I was like, man, are they all like this?
I remember correctly, you said that Glenn told you, I hope one day I can run Twitter on that thing so that I can then quit it.
That is not what I remember.
No, that didn't happen?
Okay. No.
No, in fact, what Steve Jobs said was, someday, the Beatles will be on this, and you will never forget.
Mark my words, and you will never forget the day.
And that day is, Lex?
Beatles on iTunes Day. I think it's November 14th.
Oh, you forgot.
Yeah, it was the last
Face of Your Father.
It was last week.
iTunes Beatles is November 16th.
Yeah. Remember, we talked about this last week as we recorded. And then we were like, oh my God, we forgot to remember the thing that we would never forget.
Yeah, I hope that's exactly what we said.
Say that again. Wait, never mind. I haven't recorded.
We forgot to remember the thing we would never forget.
It's too long for
a day we would never forget.
It's too long for an episode.
And then actually, you guys did remember it, but you remembered it like an hour late.
That's true.
Well, I think we've learned a lot here today.
Nope.
Yeah. Don't go. If you have a choice, I mean, like, we're staying here for Thanksgiving. I think that's the best advice. Just don't
stay at John's house.
Don't have Thanksgiving.
I'm also staying
parents.
At the Maltz's for Thanksgiving.
We're all at John's house for Thanksgiving.
We'll set a table.
Yeah, I don't travel on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no. I travel. Then you just lied to me. 3 miles or something.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Yeah, don't travel Thanksgiving. Good night, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.